Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I want to begin by showing you this picture of a man on a mountaintop. Life has mountaintops. There would be weddings and birthdays and promotions and graduations, vacations, or spiritual moments where we encounter God. But the fact of life is, life also has valleys. And it's in the valleys where life, real life rather, is lived. The Bible also says that not only is life lived in the valleys, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley or the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It is also in the valleys that we find the darkest places, the disruptions, the places that are unfamiliar to us. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 is a story along the lines of this particular valley. Now, the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. Notice the words valley of Elah and notice the words battle lines to meet their old familiar enemy. Battles are fought in valleys. Not only are they the darkest places where real life is lived, but they're also where the places of fighting happens. Now further, it says in verse 3, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites on another hill with a valley. There it is again, the valley between them. Valleys are where we find life's disruptions. Notice where it says in verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. A champion. A champion is where you find your greatest disruptions. In some cases, confronted by someone who or something that you might not be capable of overcoming. Notice where it says his height was 6 cubits in span. In other words, he's too big to stop or he's unstoppable. Disruptions are like that. Sometimes they look like they're impossible situations that are unstoppable. And so the message today is the question or the answer to the question, how to rise above the valley of disruptions. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 5, it continues. He had a bronze helmet in his head and wore a coat of scale armor. That means a lot of armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. In other words, he was imposing. He catches your attention. Disruptions that are real sometimes can be under the radar. But when real disruptions happen, like what happened to us last year and is still happening today, they catch our attention. Imposing things now become impositions when they make you stop on your tracks doing what you cannot do, what you used to be able to do. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. Imposing things or things that are impositions will not simply go unnoticed and will not simply go away, which means they're disruptive. Down in verse 8, it says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Am I not your old issue? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me or fight me. Now, when impositions become a reality in life, they in the next stage is they become things that shout at you or intimidate you. When something intimidates you, something changes. You no longer can avoid this thing that's imposing itself upon you. You will now have to confront it. Now, it's good if you were being intimidated by a little chihuahua that you could easily just pick up a rock and throw something at it or kick it in its face. But Goliath is not a chihuahua. He's actually a big giant, more like a German shepherd that's about to bite you. And that's intimidating. And notice where it happens in verse 11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The story we're about to look at is very similar to the last two stories we looked at. The last woman standing talks about Rahab, the only woman who believed in the midst of an unbelieving group of people and her enemies that will soon become her friends, but did not even believe in her as well. In the midst of that, she was the last woman standing and saw her God come through for her because of her zeal and his zeal. Last week, we talked about yet another person. This was Gideon. the same message, the only man who would stand alone in the face of those who are afraid and fearful or in doubt, and yet would trust God and see God come through for him as he applied God's zeal in his life. Today, we're looking at yet the unpredictable versus the disruption. And when things that are predictable become disrupted, you still need zeal. The determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and his kingdom. Further now, we see the unfolding of the story in verse 12. Now, David, this is now the story of yet another person who finds himself standing alone in the midst of a disruption. David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. David was the youngest. By the way, and if you're a student, if you're a young person, you need to listen to this. This boy or young person is probably in his 15, 16, at the most 17 years old at the time. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. In short, he was living life every day. He was facing mountaintops and valleys. The reality of life is not all mountaintops and not all valleys, but a mixture of both. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. The words 40 days is something worth noting because the number 40 in Scripture is important. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all spent 40 days in the wilderness. The Jews out of Egypt spent 40 years in the desert, and there were 40 days of flooding that God used to cleanse the earth. 40 is the number of an extended period of probation and testing. And in this story, God is testing the generation, the older generation, before the generation of David. And God was ready to change that generation to prove that there was an oncoming generation that was ready to face the disruption that is upon the earth at that time. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "Now Jesse said to his son, David, 'Take the ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to the camp,'" to their camp, basically, "'and says, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them.'" When I was pondering the thought of David bringing the cheese and the bread, I couldn't help but think about a young boy who's a grab food delivery man, inconsequential, inconspicuous, someone who doesn't look like he's able to kill a giant. And yet, as we know in the story, he will. Sometimes we underestimate the power of the next generation. Sometimes we think that just because somebody doesn't look like or fit right, that he's not the guy who's going to change the world. And many times we're mistaken because we don't understand that disruptions are actually, the way to overcome disruptions is with something just as disruptive as the thing that you do not realize is the common thing you often use. Now, further in verse 20, it says, "Early in the morning, David left his flock in the care of a shepherd." This is important, as you will see later unfold in the story. "Loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran in front of the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were." Notice the words "ran to the battle lines." There's a level of self-motivation that you need to find. There's a difference between Grab food delivery guys. I order a lot of food from Grab. And some of them just leave it on your doorstep. Some of them ring your doorbell and gladly smile at you and take things to a whole nother level. There's a level of difference in the excellence of every individual. Not just because you're a kid or somebody who delivers food, you'd be different. The way you get out of a depressive disruption, the way you step out of a hole of a valley and climb out of that disruption is a level of being self-motivated. Now, there you find in verse 23, "As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance." And now, finally, David, the guy who was there, his disruption, heard it. "Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they fled from him and with great fear. The imposition and the intimidation became great fear. And all of them," the Bible says, "were terrified." And here they said, they all fled except for one grab food delivery guy. Now, the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him." Now he also will give him his daughter in marriage and will accept his family from taxes in Israel. Think about that. You're tax-free. I don't know how that works in Singapore. Is that CPF? Whatever it is, you are tax-free, duty-free. And not only that, you get to marry the boss's child. That's the grab food delivery guy. In verses 26 and 27, the grab food delivery guy says, did I hear you guys right? And they said, yes, you did. But then what happens in verse 20, the next verse in verse 28, his brother Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger at him and asked him, have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? And remember the first part of the story, he was responsible to do the right thing. But he went there for a reason, and that reason is destiny. I know, he says, how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You've come down only to be a spectator. You've only come down here because your motives are wrong. You've got a bad heart. Notice where he says, you come down here to watch the battle. You're irresponsible and lazy. If you're going to get out of a disruptive situation, regardless of who you are, young or old, you start by trusting in what God has done and shown you in the past. It starts by don't let criticisms hamper you. Many times, the criticisms of others make us stop on our tracks and become intimidated ourselves rather than realizing that there's something greater in our lives when we look back at the things that God has shown us and God has done in and through us. You may have heard of Sheryl Sandberg. She's the CEO of Facebook. And she had this quote that says, in the future, there will be no female leaders. There will be just leaders. I don't know Ms. Sandberg, and I haven't read her best-selling book, Leaning In or Lean In, but she's a very successful woman. I did listen to a speech that she made, and she said the reason why women are not successful is not because of men. It's not because of men making them not successful, but because they are always set back or held back by the criticism that they hear from others. Criticism is a dangerous thing. It will limit you and stop you in your tracks rather than being bold and realizing God has called me, God has shown me things, God has done things into my life, and because of that, I can get out of this disruptive situation. Verse 30 says, he then turned away. That's what you need to do, by the way, when somebody criticizes you. He turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. Do not let the criticisms of life kept you from fulfilling that thing that God has for you. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And so Saul sent for him. When you're able to rise above the criticisms of life, you will be able to now take the next step in rising above the disruptions of life. Now down in verse 32, it says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against him, this Philistine, and fight him. You are only a food delivery boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth. In other words, you don't have a chance. The first thing you need to understand is don't let criticisms hamper you. But the second thing you need to understand is don't let the experts dictate your capacity or your capability. It's sad when you look at history and realize that these days, Christians or believers or the people of faith who once invented a telescope, the clock, the printing press, and even peanut butter are now lagging behind. Based on criticisms and fears and doubts, disrupted, the people who are inventing new things are people who are not necessarily people of faith. Think about Tesla, now the biggest company on the planet. And think about the guy who started it all, who's now only 49 years old. And think about all the critics who said, you're not going to amount to anything. And think about all the experts who said, you're not going to launch a rocket. No less than Neil Armstrong said he was going to fail. And think about Starlink, which is about to now envelop the entire planet with the internet. And think about how this man avoided all of that because he refused to listen to the criticisms. He refused to be limited by the experts and trust the very things that he believed in. Now, I don't know Elon Musk. I don't know if he believes in God. What I do know is he knows how to overcome disruptions, if not be the David or the disruption himself. Now, down in verse 33 says, Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. This guy's been a warrior. Now, watch what David says. the food delivery guy, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. In other words, this guy has already assessed the situation. This guy can't be faster than the lion or the bear that I've already killed. This guy only has 2 feet. Those guys had 4. I've done this already. He was reviewing the things that God has done and shown him in the past. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Now, while the people and Saul's men were looking at the problem, trust in what God has done in the past for you. David saw not a giant. What he saw was a target so big that even a kid with blindfold cannot miss it. Sometimes the criticisms hamper us. The experts tell us it can't be done. And yet deep down in the gut of our spirits, we know God has called us to do something great in the midst of the disruption. If not, be the disruption ourselves. David was such a man. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you. But before you go, let me dress you up in my own tunic. Let me put a coat of armor. Let me show you how to really fight this war because I've been here before and I'm the expert." David fastened his sword and tried it out and listened to the expert and said, "Okay, because I respect you and because of all your experience, I'm not going to argue with you." Because he realized, "I can't do this. I can't even move in it." How do you get out of disruption? Trust in what God has done and has shown you in the past. Don't let criticisms hamper you. Don't let the expert dictate your destiny, your capability, your capacity. Trust in what God has done in the past. But secondly, focus on what God has given you. How do you do that? Battles are won not by weapons, but by warriors. Warriors make good weapons. That's not to say that there should be no weapons. When I think about battles are not won by weapons, I'm reminded of when Germany started invading Europe. There was a term called Blitzkrieg, or the Lightning War. The speed by which the Nazis invaded Europe was stunning. They took over Eastern Europe, and then moving towards Western Europe, the Nazis took over France and Belgium, and the British tried to fight back. But the power was so strong, they were pushed back to England. By the time they retreated, unfortunately, they left all their weapons in Dunkirk. They had no guns. Now, if you have an army and you have all these warriors, you still have to have guns even though you have a warrior spirit. Thus came the Sten gun. The Sten gun was the gun that the British will use to win the war. First, they start by saying, "We've got to start with what we have, 9mm bullets. Then, because we don't have guns and we don't have the time to produce the guns, we'll use exhaust pipes of cars. And because we don't have all the parts, we're going to use bed springs. And because of that, we're going to use 47 ordinary parts, screws and bolts, and then we're going to produce them in all our toy factories so they can be welded, delivered in sheds, so that we can produce them in different places." Thus, by the end of World War II, 4 million Sten guns would be produced, and it will be the weapon of choice among commandos. When we start with our limitations and focus on the things we don't have, we're not going to be able to get out of our disruption. Further in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he said, "I cannot go in these," he said, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. You need to focus on what God has given you. Battles are not won by weapons. More importantly, battles are lost with the wrong weapons or the wrong armor. This is the Messerschmitt Bf 109, the German plane that took over most of the world. This is the DH-28 Mosquito, the plane that the British used. It was known as the Wooden Wonder. The reason why was because the British was running late in the fight for air supremacy. They can only build a plane while the war was going on. And the only way they could do that was to literally use wood and use furniture factories to build these planes. Building with what you have and what God has given you is key to your success in getting out of disruption. The interesting thing is, the Wooden Wonder, or the Mosquito, ended up to be the most versatile plane in World War II. It was great for tactical bombing, for high-altitude bombing, for fighter bombing, for maritime striking, for photo reconnaissance, and even for pathfinding. Sometimes, We limit ourselves when we start listening to the criticisms and to the experts and to all the other things rather than knowing that God is for us and He has shown us things and given us things. In verse 40, we find that He took His staff in His hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, going back to the weapon that He knew how to use. He put them in His pouch in the shepherd's bag and he slung in His hand and approached the Philistine. What He had in His hand was what He came with and confronted, not with weapons, but with the heart of a warrior. How do you get out of disruption? Focus on what God has given you. Battles are not won by weapons, but by warriors. Battles are lost with the wrong armor. But more importantly, battles are won by mastering the thing. David was a master of killing the bear and the lion with a slingshot. He was a master at using this form of tactic or guerrilla warfare or fighting something that's big from a distance and not into hand-to-hand combat necessarily. What does that mean for you and me spiritually? Have you mastered the art of praying every day? Have you mastered the ability to think the thoughts of God and meditate on His Word? We sometimes want to hear more preachings like this when the reality is the day-to-day life of living in the valley and in the mountaintops, regardless, is mastering prayer. Mastering the ability to meditate on the Word of God and reason your world and life and disruptions based on what God has said. Have you mastered the art of proclaiming Jesus? That every time you find yourself in a meal and pick up a cup or a piece of bread, you remember what Jesus has done for you. Have you mastered the art of fellowship? Of knowing how to be quickened by the Holy Spirit to make a phone call, to pray for one another, to have coffee with someone, because in those little settings off the place in the valley is where we become masters of the thing that God has given us. Finally, as we end this message, he says in verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He said, am I a dog that you come to at me with sticks? Now, this is not imposing intimidation. This is now the real confrontation. And by the way, if you're going to get out of disruption, you're not going to get out by avoiding it. You're going to get out by confronting it. He says, come here, he said, and I'll give you the flesh, give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. You see, David couldn't be intimidated because he's been intimidated by something like this before. And so when he sees this guy, you're nothing because I've been intimidated not just by this guy, but even by this guy. And because he's learned how to live in the valley, previous to the other disruptions that were going to come, David said to the Philistine, you come to me against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. How do you overcome disruptions? Trust in what God has done for and shown you. Focus on what God has given you. And finally, trust and focus on who God is. That day, the Lord will deliver you, or this day rather, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my focus on the truth of who God is. God is my deliverer. He will deliver me. Not only that, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that this is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. All who are gathered here will know that this is not won by sword or spear, but the Lord is my deliverer. He saves. Not only does He save, and all the glory goes to Him. And finally, he said, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give us all of you into our hands. In short, he said, not only do I have God as my deliverer, and all the glory goes to God, it is not by my might or my power, but by my God's Spirit that I shall prevail over this disruption. As we end this moment of meditating on the Word of God, I want you to join me in a proclamation of Jesus Christ and the reality of who He is. Pick up a bread and pick up a cup, the reminders of the proclamation of who Jesus is. And join me in this brief proclamation. Lord Jesus, we proclaim your grace over our daily lives, trusting that in whatever valley we find ourselves, you are there with us. To remind us of all things you have done and shown us in the past, to make us focus on and master that which we have received from you, and to put our trust and focus on who you are in our lives, our deliverer, our power, and our might. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.